Morning. Well, if you weren't awake, you're awake now. While the brothers check out the audio there, I'll have you join me in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, please, the first book of Samuel, and we'll begin at chapter number 1. Now, we just heard from Joe Murphy about his trip to Ireland. The work of the Lord in the Ireland Outreach International. I've placed some brochures here on the front and some prayer cards for Jim and Jean Gillette. So if you would like afterwards to come up and help yourself after the meeting is over, we know that they would love to have you pray for them. I'll just share a quick end of the story, if you will. As Joe was mentioning, the involvement in the different assemblies in the Nigerian project to have that container filled with medical supplies and books and wheelchairs and computers and all the work that was done, and Joe was a major part of that, as were other people. But to just tell you what happened after that was over was a real blessing. And here's what happened. I think the last pickup was Saturday. And Monday was the first day of VBS, right, Joe? And I just read in a devotion that God wants us in his service. And I thought, you know, I don't teach Sunday school. I don't, how am I involved, you know, in terms of VBS? And Bill Zick said, just show up. You could be a security guard. And so the devotion just said, when we come to where we can do something for the Lord, it was from Days of Praise, if you get that devotion, it's like daily bread. It said, just show up. God will use you. Just show up. And I did. And so one of the things I like to do is greet the people who come and encourage the parents to come downstairs, because there's ladies in the kitchen with coffee and refreshments, so they don't just leave their children and disappear for 2 hours and then come back. We want to get to know the parents a little bit, too. There are a lot of parents that are reluctant to do this, but this one particular family, I coerced to come downstairs. It was a father, a teenage son, and 2 younger children. And the younger children had very unusual names, and Mary Beth was trying to record their names down. They were very long names, very foreign names. And she finally got the names because the father spelled them out. And so when the father came down, coerced by myself, to have a cup of coffee and a muffin or whatever, I said to the man, I said, those are very unusual names that your children have. I said, do they have a special meaning? He says, yes, they do. Their names mean for the glory of God. And I said to him, well, then I must ask you, where are you from? He says, originally? I said, yes. He says, I'm from Africa. So I started to tell him about the container project and all the books. And Marge Grudy went over to the bulletin board. And we have this map of Jos, Nigeria, where Haven of Hope that Joe was speaking about. And the Haven of Hope and the ministry to Nigeria, to Jos, Nigeria. And so Marge brought it over. And he looked at it. And he just stared at it. And he said, that's amazing. He says, my sister lives in Jos, Nigeria. Now, what's the chance of that happening 2 days after our involvement in this ministry? Well, I think it's a God incident. And God just puts his, if you'll allow me the liberty, his stamp of approval, you know. And we can't be equipped for the work of the Lord until we're in the Word of the Lord. Until we're in the Word of the Lord. Until we hear the Word from the Lord. And so I want to just encourage your heart with that little thought. That no matter what it is you might be involved in your little ministry, stay in the Word, and God will show you, as Joe shared with us, what great things he's going to do. We tend to put God in a box. He's not in a box. We tend to think God will only work this way or that way, but God is sovereign, and he can work through the leaves falling from the tree if he so desires. So let's be encouraged. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Now, I was praying about, in our long trip to Florida, to the Ireland Outreach Conference, just what I should bring to you folks. And the Lord just kept bringing these thoughts before me, probably because I was going to a missionary conference. But nonetheless, it's a call to serving the Lord. And what is your mission field? And Joe closed his comments by saying, not everyone's called to go to Ireland. Not everyone's called to go to Africa. So what is your mission field? First chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was not able to bear children. Here's the background. She was provoked by her rival, and so she wept and would not eat. And in her distress, she prayed and made a vow before the Lord. I'd like to just pick up reading at verse number 11 for the sake of connection and time. And I'd like to make application from this little story here, this true account of Samuel as a young child. I'd like to make application to our own lives. So listen up, please, and read along with me silently as we read aloud the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, and Hannah's vow. And Hannah made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give me a maidservant, give your maidservant a son, that I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. That's her promise. And a razor shall never come to his head. That's, of course, a Nazarite vow. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. And as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So she was praying to herself with her lips. And so Eli thought she was drunk. And then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away wine from you. But Hannah replied, no, no, my Lord. I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But, now listen, if you underline things in your Bible, I'd encourage you to underline this. But I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I say again, poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. We'll continue at verse 19. We'll see that prayer is answered, and Samuel here is born. And then we'll go back and look at a few of these thoughts by application. So then we're reading at verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Worshipped before the Lord. This is husband and wife. And returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Then the man Elkanah went up with his household to offer up to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vows. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only, listen, if you're going to underline, may I encourage you to underline this, brothers and sisters, may the Lord confirm his word. I say again, may the Lord confirm his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now verse 24, till the end of chapter, Samuel is brought to Eli. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and though the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am a woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. We will not be equipped, I say, for the work of the Lord until we know we are in the Word of the Lord and hear a confirmation from His Word. You'll note the vow that she vowed. Let's go back, please, and look at verse number 11. By way of application, as I said before, I'd like to just take these simple little thoughts here and by way of application, apply them to my heart, to your heart today. She said, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. You'll have to remember she was under quite a pressure situation, not being able to bear children. That was an awful thing. It's an awful thing today, but it's an awful thing in those days too. And she was being made fun of and ridiculed by Elkanah's other wife. So this provocation proved overwhelming to her. And you'll notice the intensity of her prayer. First, by way of application, I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life. And as Joe shared with us just earlier, I have a question. And the question is to my heart as I ask you today. Am I willing to give to the Lord all that I am? Is there some compartment of my life that I'm not quite willing to give to the Lord? You know the old saying, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life. Am I willing to give to the Lord all that I am and all that I have? That's my challenge to both our hearts today. And then I would like to note with you, please, in verse 15. Notice, first of all, she has a promise in verse 11, too. And then there's a prayer in verse 15. There's the peace of God in verse 17, if you like to alliterate like I do. So there's the promise, the prayer, and the peace of God. And if you're not someone who alliterates, then note, please, then in verse 15, the intensity of the prayer. The intensity of the prayer. And by way of application, do I want to be involved? Do you want to be involved in the work of the Lord? There's no higher occupation but to be involved in the work of the Lord. And how intensely are we praying for that? How intensely are we praying for that? Look at how she prayed. She poured out her soul before the Lord. You know, I think I must share with you and be transparent that if there's something that needs work in my life, and there's a lot of things, you can talk to Mary Beth after. She's been married to me for 36 years, and there's quite a work in progress here the Lord is doing. So if you want to know some of it, you can talk to her. You'll probably need a couple days. But one of the things that the Lord is doing is teaching me more of prayer. Because one of the things I would have to say to you transparently, that my prayer life is not what it ought to be. And I think if we're honest with one another, we'll say that maybe that's true of somebody else here today. I'm not sure. I don't know your prayer life. But I will tell you this. When I heard that my brother-in-law had cancer, and initially his chances of recovery before this gene mutation were about 35%, I learned something of prayer that I didn't know before. I'm just being very honest with you. I poured out my heart in prayer before the Lord. And so I think that the Lord wants to show us that if we want to really say, I'm willing to give you, Lord, my life, my all, that we need to pray like that too. It's not just, as a brother said at the end of the worship meeting this morning, it's not just lip service. We really need to live this. We need to pray this. It's the work of the Lord, brothers and sisters. You know, I think of my son's father-in-law, very godly man, and he worked for a company for, I think, over 25 years. Is that right, Mary Beth? 25 or 30 years as an engineer. Faithful, on time every day, faithful worker, hardly took any sick time off. And after 35 years, they gave him, I guess, what do they call it when they lay you off, the golden handshake or something? In other words, sayonara, were shipping the work out overseas or whatever it was they were doing. I don't know what it was. But here's a man my age, close to 60, an engineer looking for a job in this kind of market. You know, I use that as an illustration that no matter how hard you work, young people, middle age, you know, we look at our jobs and we think, you know, thank you, Lord, for the job, but there's no guarantees in life with regards to that. And we could pour our whole being into our job and find, I'm sorry, the manager's calling you in today and you're unemployed. And there's a lot of that going on. Not that we can't be faithful to our employer. I'm not suggesting that. But what we really need to pour ourselves into is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. What would he have us to do? So look at the results that happened. She prayed with all that was in her. She prayed with her soul. And she prayed with intensity. And look at the results in verse 17 and 18. "Go in peace," he said. And her face was no longer sad. Prayer may not change things, but it'll change me. Prayer may not change my situation, but it'll change my outlook on the situation. As I look to the throne, and as my soul is poured out to the Lord, truly in prayer, it may not change the circumstance I'm in, but it'll change my focus on the circumstance. And so, her face was no longer sad. She had made a complete 180 degrees. So we live in a world that's, excuse me, but for lack of a better word, we live in a world that is deplorable. It's deplorable. I couldn't think of another word as I was studying this. We live in a godless world. God-fearing people are few, and sin is abounding all around us. And yet we are called to be lights in this dark world. I'd like you to keep your finger here to 1 Samuel or a bookmark or a bulletin and quickly turn over to the New Testament to a verse I know you're familiar with. I'm going to ask you to turn and join me, please, in 1 Peter. And I know you know this passage, but I'm going to ask you to turn there anyway, because if we want to know what the work of the Lord is, we have to be in the Word of the Lord. Look at 1 Peter and turn with me to chapter number 2. And of course, the familiar passage that I want to bring to your attention this morning in light of a call to serving the Lord and where is your mission field is, of course, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession." Am I willing to give all? God's possession, "so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And I write in my Bible that we are redemption's people. We are redemption's people. And later on in these verses, we find redemption's price. We mentioned it this morning in worship. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're redemption's people, purchased with redemption's price. But there's a redemption's purpose for our life. That purpose is that we should be proclaiming the excellencies of him who's called us out of darkness into light. When Samuel was born, the condition of Israel was deplorable too. There was no recognized leader. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Does that sound familiar, folks? Does that sound like the world we're living in today? Everybody kind of does what's in their own life. Jerry was sharing with me at the break today about situation at work. Everybody is doing and living their own quote-unquote lifestyle. And no one fears God. So what's the application that we can take from this? We're chosen. We're chosen by God. We're saved by his amazing grace. We remembered that this morning in the breaking of the bread. We're redeemed by his precious blood. Now our lives are not our own. We belong to him. You know, I'm going to mention something, and it may be stepping on some toes, I don't know, but I won't ask forgiveness for it, because it's just an observation, not a condemnation. Did you get that? It's just an observation, not a condemnation. We have much technology today. If you're familiar with Facebook, raise your hand. If you know what Facebook is, raise your hand. I just want to see how many people are familiar with Facebook. Okay, so I would say probably 3/4 of the people here raise their hand, and you're familiar with Facebook. I am encouraged, on the one hand, when I open up Facebook, and I don't do it that often, but when I do open up Facebook, I am encouraged, and I'll just tell you specifically, there are a number of people, two I see in the audience, and I think one of them left early, who always have something positive about the Lord, a verse, an exhortation, or something about the Lord. So when we look at Facebook, and they're our friend, okay, We befriended them. I think that's kind of comical in a way. But anyway, there's a verse for us to meditate on. There's a thought for us to think about. And it's always about the Lord. And that encourages my heart. When I go on Facebook and I see, of course, you know, I like to put, I'm prejudiced. I like to put my grandchildren's pictures up there. And why not? You know, I want to show you what my grandkids look like. You know, my wife and I. But it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging to see things about the Lord there. So I don't know how many friends you have, 100, 50, 200, 600, 1,000, you know, on Facebook. They're all seeing that verse, and they're all reading that, and that exhortation, and they're all encouraged by that. If we are going to be equipped for the work of God, we need to be in the Word of God. And we can use all these technology things to help us. I'll comment on that later. So whether it's an item of praise, whether it's a prayer request for a father who's sick and in the hospital having heart surgery, whatever it might be, it's a positive thing. And so on the one hand, I'm encouraged. And on the other hand, I am also saddened. And I'll share this with you by way of observation, not condemnation. And I'm not particularly choosing anyone from this meeting. I don't think anyone here does this, but I just look on Facebook sometime and I see people's comments. What's it called? What am I doing now? How does it word? What am I doing now? What's my activity? What's my status? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Shows I'm still a dinosaur, even though I pretend to be technology savvy. What's your status? And some of the things as we as professing believers find in our status ought not to be. Ought not to be. You know, am I listening for the voice of God? In a couple minutes, I'm going to read from chapter number 2 briefly for you, chapter number 3, and I'm going to direct your attention to the call of Samuel. Before we read that together, I just want to comment this, that we all have our electronic devices. I'm no exception. I brought one here this morning. If there's time, I want to try to end promptly at 12 if I can, so I'm invited back again some year. But I brought a song I want you to listen to, and it ties in, I think, to the message, if time allows. We all have our electronic gadgets. You know, we have our things, but am I listening? Am I listening to the call of God? Am I quiet enough in His presence to hear Him speak to me? We live in an age that's increasingly difficult to find quiet time. Samuel was a young boy, just recently weaned, and according to scriptures, he was somewhere around 10, 11 years old. By the time we read chapter number 3, somewhere in that age, around 12 or so, and you could argue with me after whatever, but Samuel did not have any cell phones. He did not have any TVs. He didn't have any DVDs. You know, I like my wife's comment. I hope I don't embarrass you, Mary Beth, but we have the DVDs of the Gaithers and CDs, and she says, you know, I think you have to be a PhD to understand which one of these you plug into which device, you know. But Samuel didn't have any of that stuff. He didn't have any cell phones or TVs or DVDs or Xboxes or iPads or iTouches. He didn't have any Blackberries or Blueberries or Elderberries or any kind of those things like that. But he had quietness before the Lord. Just the stillness of those couple seconds that I hesitated. Just quietness before the Lord. You know, these devices scream for our attention. I'm just as guilty. My customers, young people, text me, Mr. C, I need this, I need that, whatever. I'm just as guilty. These tech devices make our lives easier, but they consume us too. And TV shows, they allure us. Movies or whatever it is that draws you away, draws me away from quiet time with the Lord. We all struggle with these things. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that we all struggle in our daily lives. But all these things clamor for our attention. But what about quiet time with the Lord? Quiet time with the Lord. Chapter number 3. Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and that simply means he was doing what a young boy, probably around 12 years of age, would be doing. He had various duties in the sanctuary, if you will, okay, maybe he was lighting the candles, the different things he was doing. So the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verse 1. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Did you hear that? Are you paying attention? Because this really has great application to our lives today. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It sets the stage. It happens, verse 2, at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. It was probably very early in the morning near dawn. That's what one of the commentaries said. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and the Lord called Samuel. And he said, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." See, Samuel is a young boy, doesn't recognize that the voice that's actually audibly heard was the voice of the Lord God calling him. But he said, "I did not call you, lie down again." So they went, and he went and he lay down. Before we go on to verse 6, does everybody here, if you could show me with a raise of hands, have you read this story before? Have you heard this in Sunday school? Okay, so this is not unfamiliar to you. And the Lord called again Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." But he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lay down again." And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He did not know the voice of the Lord. He did not know the voice of the Lord, okay? Nor the word of the Lord had been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." And Eli, listen, if you're going to underline again, I want to encourage you to underline this. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called. He came and he stood and he called. As at other times. Excuse me. "Samuel! Samuel!" And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't hear the audible voice of the Lord. Anybody here hear the audible voice of the Lord? But the song I want to play for you is by a group. I hope there's time for it. I'm sure a lot of you young people may have heard it in the past. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's called "Word of God Speak." Do you know that song by Mercy Me? Nod your head up and down if you know that song. Good. There's a few of you that do. So that although we don't hear the audible voice of the Lord speaking to us, we hear the Word of God speak to us as we read the Word of God. I read this, and when I was thinking of this, it's like when I sit down before the Word, and I pray, and I ask the Lord to forgive me, and you know the washing of the feet we heard in worship meeting this morning, we can't come to the Lord with defiled feet from treading in the world. You know, ask forgiveness, 1 John 1:7, constantly washing our feet before the Lord, cleansing us, and we come before the Lord, and we open the pages of God's Word. And did you see what happened in verse number 10? Then the Lord came and stood and called. I want you to get a visual of this. I want you to allow me some sanctified imagination, if I can say it that way, that when you are really humble before the Lord and you have asked forgiveness for sins, thoughts you've thought, whatever, and you're coming before the Lord with His Word, His holy Word before you in your lap, or on the table in front of you, and you're opening the pages of the Word of God, and as the words of the lyrics of the song, "Word of God speak, let it pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know. Be still and know." He came and he stood and he spoke with Samuel. It's an awesome thing. Joe was talking about working for the Lord and fellowshipping with saints that are working with the Lord and being in the Word of God and being in fellowship with the Lord. And there's nothing on earth I could possibly compare that to. And I want to encourage your heart. I want to challenge you today that you can hear the voice of God through His Word. And it's awesome. We have the Word of God. You know, let's go back to those devices. You know, iPads, iTouches, I get all mixed up, whatever they're called. But we can use those things for the glory of God. You know, there's Bible programs out there that'll fit in your cell phone. If you have an iPad or iTouch, there's Bible programs available for those things. So no matter where you go with your music, I hope it's Christian music, that you can have the Word of God with you. We can use these devices. We can use the computer for the Lord. We can take that technology and use it for the Lord and be still before the Lord with that. But I want to go beyond that illustration. Samuel heard the audible voice of the Lord, but it wasn't until Eli had come alongside him. You know, Eli was an older saint, prophet, and he could have been very jealous of this young boy. You know, I mean, let's put it in today's language. There's this young whippersnapper coming along and he hears the voice of the Lord. What's wrong with me? Okay? Eli could have thought that. He could have been jealous. This little boy's hearing the voice of the Lord, but he didn't get jealous. What does Scripture tell us? Verse number 8, chapter number 3, 1 Samuel. So the Lord called Samuel. And at the end of the verse, what does it say? Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli was an older saint coming alongside a young boy. He was not jealous. He used his spiritual discernment to know the Lord was clearly calling Samuel. And he was instructing him on how he should respond to the call of God. I have an exhortation to both young and old today. And here's my exhortation to you. And it's to my own heart too. How is it with us older ones? I use that term very loosely because of age. People are very sensitive with age. But how is it with us more mature ones in the Lord, let's say? Are we instructing the younger believers on how to respond to the call of God in their lives? Are we coming alongside them and helping and mentoring with them? I have a personal conviction, and you can agree with it or disagree with it. It's like a brother once said, here's the truth, here's what I believe, and if you disagree, it's okay. Just don't confuse it with the truth. I personally believe, brothers and sisters, and I'm convicted of this, that if the assemblies as we know them today are to grow spiritually, we must disciple young people. If the assemblies are to grow spiritually, we must disciple young people. And young people must desire to be in the Word of God. We can't give them that desire. That's got to come from their own heart. So in chapter number 3 and verse number 10, speak for your servant is listening. The Lord spake. Samuel now recognized it was the voice of the Lord speaking. And he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So young people, I'll say young people of the age of 50 or under. How's that for young people? This way I don't get in trouble with the older folks. Young people, are you challenged in your heart that you want to hear the voice of God? Are you willing to serve Him with everything that you are and have? Are you listening for His voice? God wants our lives. God wants our love. God wants all of us. You know the hymn that we sometimes sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You know that hymn? Raise your hand if you know that hymn. Take my silver and my gold, not of might would I withhold. The hymn that came, the chorus that came before me, or excuse me, the verse that came before me in the hymn while I was studying is this. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments, listen, take my moments and my days, let them flow with ceaseless praise. Do we really mean that when we sing that? My moments and my days? Steve Green sings a song called The Mission. Here's how the chorus goes. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. People want to know the truth. People are tired of being lied to by politicians and everyone else. People want to know the truth. We hold the living Word of God in our hands and in our hearts, I trust, and we have the truth. We have the truth. Joe was talking about water wells that are being dug in Africa and how the Muslims are forcing people, they're locking them and forcing people to bow down to their religion. We are opening up the water freely for anyone to come and take and showing them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living water, from which they will drink and never be thirsty again. How is it with you young folks? Are you desiring to be mentored by the older ones? I look in this audience, and I use the word older, please, with great respect. I look at men and women in this audience here today I would be honored to be discipled by. Young people, and I know that there's not everyone is here today, but I hope if you're listening on this tape device or whatever it is, MP3 or whatever it's called, that you'll avail yourself of the godly men and women in this chapel who I'm sure would love to mentor with you and take your life and let it be consecrated to the Lord. Are you listening for His voice? Do we really mean what we say when we sing these hymns? Listen to what Oswald Chambers wrote in 1937. He wrote these words. In order to catch men for the Lord Jesus Christ, we must love Jesus Christ absolutely, beyond all others. We must have a consuming passion of love, and then He will flow through us with a passion and love and yearning that will in turn draw men to Himself. Do we have that passion? Do I have that passion? I ask myself as I read that. I ask myself and I ask you today, where is your mission field? Is it your neighbor? Is it your coworker? Is it someone on the sports field that maybe you're a coach with? How deep is our love for the Lord? Does it go so deeply that we are burdened to pray as Hannah prayed with our soul for the unsaved? Remember the words of Oswald Chambers that I read to you. I'm going to repeat them at even the risk of might be going over by a minute or two. I'm going to read this. In order to catch men for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must love Jesus Christ absolutely above all others. All others. Where is your mission field? How passionate are you and I for the mission that God has given each one of us? The last verses I want to read are in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'll just take time to read them, and they're verse 19 to 21. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. And they read this way in my New American Standard Bible. The Lord is with Samuel is the heading over these verses. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh, listen, by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. Samuel grew. He not only grew in years, but he grew in his love for the Lord and in his confidence in the Lord and in his testimony for the Lord. I'm going to repeat that. Samuel grew not only in years, but in his love for the Lord, in his confidence in the Lord, and in his testimony for the Lord. How is it with you and I? Are we growing like Samuel? May we pray each day as Hannah prayed. She was greatly distressed. And may we be greatly distressed over lots of souls that are perishing. Our brother said at the end of the worship meeting this morning, people are perishing. People are losing their lives and losing their souls for all eternity. Pour out heartfelt prayer and have a constant attitude of worship, because that's what she did. Right away you'll see she worshiped the Lord, and as we read that together. And then listen to God's word as it speaks to our hearts. I'm going to try to play this song for you if I can. Will this be picked up by the microphone too? Can I leave that on? And then with this, it's 3 minutes, so I'll run 3 minutes over. Is that acceptable?
Finding myself
Father, we just thank you for the time in your word. Father, we just pray that you would help us to take our moments in our days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Help us to set our days right, that we would spend time with you, that we would know your presence and your power and your purpose in our life, and that wherever you would have us in our mission field, Father, that we'd be faithful, that we'd be found faithful. We need to spend time with you, Father. We realize that the world is all around us. But for us to be equipped and for us to fight the good fight of faith, we need to be in your word. We need to hear the word of God speak to our hearts. May it be so. May we be sensitive to hear your voice. May we respond to your voice as Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Father, we just pray this, and we pray that whatever thoughts have been shared today would pierce our hearts, that we would be a changed people, and we would be lights in a dark world. Thank you for calling us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. May we shine for you today, even today. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.